me back in Manitoba many moons ago. One day I'd like to sing that theme, and I made that offer to Bruce and he shook his head, so I shan't. You're listening to our Abandoned Manitoba segment. Gordon Goldsborough from the Manitoba Historical Society joins me now. Good morning.
Good morning, Nadia.
So remind us of the clue from last week.
Well, I said we would be talking about an abandoned building here in Winnipeg that for much of its 112-year life required its occupants to be as quiet as possible. And of course,
what are we talking about?
Where do you have to be quiet? Well, of course, the library.
Of course.
Yeah. So the building we're going to talk about is the old, what was called the Carnegie Library on William Avenue here in Winnipeg. And for several decades, it was the city's main library. It was sort of a flagship library that I suspect many, maybe most listeners will have memories of.
So take us back to some of those memories. You have your wife has a personal connection to libraries.
She does. Well, of course, my wife's family were very avid readers, and so they would often visit the library, of course, for the kids to pick up some books, mom and dad to pick up a book or two. And she particularly remembers that if she was really good, they would stop at the vending machine in the lobby to pick up a chocolate bar. So that
I love that little anecdote.
Mm-hmm. And I personally have memories of going back when I was in high school, and my history teacher assigned a project on the Second World War. So I went to the main library to look at old newspapers on microfilm. And I have to say that, you know, reading those old microfilm newspapers gave me a sense that this was real, that this was people's lives. And I think of all my events in my life, sparked my lifelong interest in history was reading those newspapers at the old library in William.
That's fascinating, especially with our the ease of which to just go to Wikipedia now or just go online. Rather
well, that's
than...
right. Today, of course, the library is often Mr. Google. You know, if you want to find information. So people sometimes don't realize that these libraries were fundamental. This is how people learned about the world around them, was to go to the library and read the local newspapers. Well, they often would have newspapers from all around the world. So this is how you would get your international news as well.
So the name implies the building was financed by the Carnegies. What were the beginnings?
Well, okay, so let's go back to the beginnings of libraries here in Winnipeg. The very first libraries were actually established by fur traders. Many of them were very educated men, and when they retired from the fur trade, they would bring their collections of books here to the Red River Settlement. So there was sort of an impromptu library. It was called the Red River Library that had operated from about the middle of the 1800s to the early 1870s. In the 1870s, there was an organization founded called the Manitoba Historical and Scientific Society. And, well, that's the predecessor to today's Manitoba Historical Society, of which I'm a member. And it opened a lending library. And of course, the lending library was something that you could go to. You could take a book out and then take it home, read it, and bring it back. This became a very, very popular thing. The city, in fact, provided a grant to the Manitoba Historical Society to run the library. They even provided space in the city hall for them to run the library. And everything was going fine until 1899, when they opened what they called a juvenile section. Basically, it was an area of kids' books. What it led to was, of course, a dramatic increase in people taking books out. So it became a real space crunch. They just didn't have enough space. So they looked about, well, how are we going to build a library, a dedicated library? And in those days, they just didn't have the funds to be able to do that. So their first thought was, well, why don't we look at seeing if there's anyone who would donate the money? And so they looked first at a fellow named Andrew Carnegie. Now, that name might ring a bell in some people's minds. Andrew Carnegie was a very wealthy industrialist. He had made money in steel. He had made money in railroads and a whole bunch of other things. And towards the end of his life, he really got into philanthropy. In fact, he's said to have made a quote that said, a man who dies rich dies disgraced. In other words, that by the time you died, you should have given away your fortune, which was something I think was quite commendable. In fact, even today, I think we could look at modern examples. Bill Gates is probably the best example, where he's got an enormous wealth, but he's using it for very good public purposes. Well, Mr. Carnegie was interested in a lot of public projects, including libraries. Over the course of his life, he is said to have endowed over 3,000 libraries around the world, particularly in the English-speaking world. So in the United States, where he made most of his money, but also in Canada, in England, in Australia, New Zealand, South Africa, Fiji, the West Indies. I mean, all of these countries benefited from donations that he would make to build a library.
Do we know why he was, you know, why it was libraries that he was so passionate about?
I think he saw them as a vehicle for education, that it was a way to better humanity, to give them, you know, educational opportunities. So the head librarian here in Manitoba, a fellow named J.P. Robertson, wrote a letter to Mr. Carnegie and said, would you be prepared to provide funds for a library here in Winnipeg? You've just made a donation to the city of Ottawa, and, you know, we think we deserve a grant too. So he very generously offered them $75,000. Now, that doesn't seem like a lot of money today, but keep in mind, this was now, you know, over 100 years ago, so that was a pretty substantial sum of money. So they commissioned an architect, they got a builder, and they put up the building on William Avenue that we see today.
And had he ever been to Winnipeg? Did he have any connection to Winnipeg? So gave this amount
There are apparently some relatives of Mr. Carnegie that lived here in Manitoba. There is a place out in western Manitoba called Carnegie that was apparently named for a cousin of his. But no, to our knowledge, there was no time that he ever came to Manitoba. He is memorialized, though, if you visit the Millennium Library here in Winnipeg, which was the successor to this library he built. There is a big portrait of Mr. Carnegie there that was painted in his honor. So, no, he never came here to see his library. And I suspect that's because, you know, if he visited all the libraries he endowed, he would be a very busy man just traveling around. Well, anyway, this library was substantial compared to what they had in the old City Hall. It had no less than 3 reading rooms, places that you could go to read. There was a general reading room for, you know, anyone, but there was also a separate men's reading room and a ladies' reading room. And I suspect the difference was the men were allowed to smoke in their reading room. They could smoke their pipe or their cigar, whereas the ladies, of course, you know, a proper lady does not smoke.
Of course, they never smoke. That's never happened.
No, and they of course, had a children's department where the kids could read. There were the stacks where they would store the books. And there also was a hall on the second floor that they used for a regular Saturday afternoon lecture series. So the whole thing was for public betterment.
And really a family, a place for family to come to.
Absolutely. And so that's something that I think a lot of people will remember are those trips to the library with mom and dad. Though this wasn't the only library that Mr. Carnegie endowed here in Manitoba. There are actually 3 Carnegie libraries here in Winnipeg, the other 2 being up in the north end. It's the St. John's Library. Here in the south end, the Cornish Library. They were endowed about 10 years later. The Bain Library was in 1903 to 1905, and these other ones were in 1913. So there's 3 altogether, 2 of which are still in operation, the north end and the Cornish Library. But the main library, the one on William Avenue, closed in 1977. And that's because they had just built what that time was called the Centennial Library, today's Millennium Library. So what do you do with this leftover space? Well, they turned it into the City of Winnipeg Archives. Now, the thing about Winnipeg is that they've got just a magnificent collection of municipal records. You know, if you're doing any kind of research on Winnipeg, it is wonderful. They've got, you know, old tax rolls. They've got the minutes of council meetings, building plans, building permits. It's just a really rich. It's estimated to be one of the richest municipal collections in all of Canada.
Really?
They've estimated its value for insurance purposes at $4 million. And so it moved into this old library. It became an archive. And I remember about a dozen years ago going there to do research. It was wonderful because they had such wonderful records. Unfortunately, of course, the building itself was rather old. So they decided they needed to upgrade it. So in 2013, they began a major renovation of the project. The idea being is they were going to create sort of a climate-controlled space, a temperature and humidity-controlled place where a lot of the more sensitive, the most important records could be stored safely. Well, unfortunately, they had opened the roof, I guess, to do some kind of work, and it left it open. And then 2 major rainstorms happened, and water, of course, came in.
No.
Huge amount of water damage, apparently. I have never seen inside it, but I'm told the damage was quite extensive. The renovation was put on hold. Everything kind of stopped. And unfortunately, nothing has resumed. It's been now 3 years. The estimated cost of restoring it is apparently something like $9 million. It's a considerable sum. And so one thought is they may just simply demolish it, which would be a real shame because it's a beautiful building. But there is an as yet confidential plan for a project that would see it restored at a relatively modest cost to the city of Winnipeg. So, you know, I'm hoping that this repository of really important municipal records can move back in. They moved the records out to another facility, a much less desirable facility. So I'm hoping they can move back into the archives.
Let's hope so. Thank you, Gordon, for that. Tell us the clue for next week.
Well, next week we're going to talk about the first rail line built in Western Canada 140 years ago this year. But it's not where you might think it is. People might think that it's here in southern Manitoba. But in fact, this one is in northern Manitoba, actually near the north end of Lake Winnipeg.
Excellent. Gordon, thanks so much for joining us today.
You're welcome, Nadja.
No matter where I go, every time the wind blows, puts me back in Manitoba, many moons ago.